In the ninth commandment, God says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." In connection with that commandment, we will read Lord's Day 43 of the Heidelberg Catechism, if you want to keep a finger there, on page 24 in the back of the Psalter. And we will read James chapter 4. We'll read the first 12 verses of James chapter 4. James 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your own lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And then now these two verses in which James, the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't merely repeat the ninth commandment, but he does instruct the New Testament church to follow the ninth commandment when he says, speak not evil of one of another. Let me restart that. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Thus far we read the word of God this morning. May God bless the reading of his word. We consider Lord's Day 43, what is required in the ninth commandment? That I bear false witness against no man, nor falsify any man's words, that I be no backbiter nor slanderer, that I do not judge nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard, but that I avoid all sorts of lies and deceit as the proper works of the devil, unless I would bring down upon me the heavy wrath of God. Likewise, that in judgment and all other dealings I love the truth, speak it uprightly and confess it, also that I defend and promote as much as I am able the honor and good character of my neighbor. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ninth commandment, like the other ten, has to do with God. It has to do with you and your relationship to God and your neighbor. The ninth commandment doesn't just have to do with words that you speak, and the ninth commandment doesn't just have to do with whether or not the words that you speak are true words. But in the ninth commandment, you and I are called to love God and to love the neighbor as ourselves. And then in James chapter 4, James, a minister of the gospel, the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, says this is especially important in the congregation where you are a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. Keeping the ninth commandment then isn't just about telling the truth. It isn't just about words. It's about loving Jesus Christ, the head of the church, and the other members of the church as the members of Christ and of his body, which is your body. We're to love one another by not speaking evil one of another. That's the language that James uses. The language that God used in the ninth commandment was, thou shalt not bear false witness, and it doesn't stop there, meaning thou shalt not lie. But the last words are very important. Against thy neighbor. So the ninth commandment has to do with not sinning with your tongue against the neighbor. Let's consider the condemnation of evil speaking this morning. And remember now that this is the condemnation of evil speaking by God, who is the source of heavenly wisdom and understanding. So what we're looking at is a condemnation, wisdom's evaluation of evil speaking, and wisdom says of evil speaking, it's condemned. We're not to do that. And if you are a friend of God and you have been given that wisdom from above, this will be your evaluation of speaking evil against other members in the church. You'll condemn it. You want nothing to do with it. If, on the other hand, you engage in and continue in evil speaking, then you are giving evidence that you are filled with the wisdom from below and that you are not a friend of God, but a friend of the world. So let's join together this morning in condemning evil speaking, noticing first of all the sin, secondly the evil of that sin, the gravity of that sin, and then thirdly the remedy. James is inspired by God to speak to the church and say, do not speak evil one of another. We could add, and it might be helpful to add in the translation of this verse, the word against. Do not speak evil against one another in the church. James, you could take the word evil out, is saying, this is what you're not to do. You are absolutely forbidden to do this. You may not do this in some circumstances and not others. No, no. You may never, as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, speak against, to put down, to hate, to judge, to destroy a person's reputation or character. You may never speak against another member of the church. These are your brothers and sisters. They're one with you in redemption, covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. They're one with you in new spiritual birth. They are one with you in new spiritual life of faith and fellowship in the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is true, and I will say something about this in the sermon tonight too, that you cannot look at the members of the church and say, now there are the real, genuine members of the church, and there are the hypocrites, the fake members of the church. I'm going to then say, here are the ones I will speak well of, and here are the ones I may speak evil of. You don't know. And the judgment that you must make in the church, the judgment of love, that's what we're going to talk about tonight too, is that my view is everyone in the Church of Jesus Christ, by their confession and walk, is truly a redeemed, blood-bought, renewed, Spirit-filled fellow member of Christ, a Christian. And you and I are not to speak against brothers and sisters, but for them. Not in hatred against them, but in love to build them up, to encourage them, to be for them. And you and I need to know the difference. When I am speaking and the subject of my speech is another member of the church, you and I need to know there is a world of difference between taking this person and making them the subject of my speech to be against them, or to take their name on my lips, their reputation, and to be for them. And you and I do know. We do know the difference. especially when we are the subject, don't we? Then we know when someone else is talking about us, right away we're very sensitive to it. Are they speaking against me or for me? This does require much wisdom, beloved, because to say you may not speak against another member of the church does not mean you may never criticize another member of the church. Or to make myself or yourself the subject of the criticism again. Do not say as a member of the church, because I'm part of the family of Christ, I am one of Christ's brothers or sisters. He's my elder brother. No one else in the church may ever point out anything in me that's a weakness, an error, or a sin. No. Under the law of God, which requires love, there is room for me and for you to be admonished, to be exhorted, to be told that's wrong, to be told that's against the law of God, that's sin, to be told you are impenitent, to be told if you remain impenitent, in love, we have to bar you from the communion table. There is room in the church even to be told by some, I could be told this in a certain circumstance, and you could be told, you're outside of the kingdom, and you're outside of the fellowship of the church. There is a circumstance where the elders or other members of the church might say that to me or you in love. But you can also be told that in a way in which you know the other person isn't doing it for you in love. You can detect it in a hurry, very quickly. This is being said to judge me. This is being said to hurt me. This is being said to assassinate my character, my reputation. That's what James is speaking against. You know the difference, don't you? Now, part of the point that I'm making here is when you know the difference, when you're the subject, I know when they're speaking against me and not for me. Now be sensitive when you're not the subject, but you're the speaker. You know the difference. You know your heart. You know whether you're saying that about someone else against them or for them. And maybe it's not to your face. Maybe it is behind your back. You're the subject. And sometimes that's all you are, the subject of a loving conversation. You find out later that your friends got together to talk about you behind your back, but you don't feel like it's behind your back because they weren't doing anything malicious. They're planning a surprise for you, perhaps. And then you know that what they were saying was in love for you. But often, and how often isn't it the case that this is what happened? They got together at someone's house and you weren't there and they were speaking against you. They got together online. They networked on their phones on programs that I've probably never heard of. And they talked about how dumb something you said was. They talked about how dumb you looked when you wore that article of clothing. They talked about how annoying certain habits or characteristics about you are. And you know, you were spoken evil against, and it hurts. My point here is, beloved, that when we ask the question, what is James talking about, we know, don't we? We know the difference between speaking in love for someone to build them up and to speak in hatred against someone to destroy them. to judge them, to hate them. But now let's take a little time to notice what this includes. In the light of Lord's Day 43 and in the light of James, we can say right away, and this is very clear, no one's going to be surprised by this. This includes lying about others, telling falsehoods about others, making something up that didn't really happen, and yet saying this to somebody or about somebody, can you believe they did this? Can you believe that they thought this or said this, and it didn't happen? That happens in the church. And you know why it happens? James is telling us. Because of hatred. Don't be deceived, beloved. When you make something up, when you lie about someone else, this is the truth the Word of God confronts you with. You did that because you hate that person. That's why you did it. Hatred. You know that happened to Jesus Christ. They told bald-faced lies about him. They told Pontius Pilate that he was a thief, even though he never so much as stole a piece of gum in Judea. Why? Because they hated him. That's why. Because they wanted Pilate to condemn him to death. And so they told the bald-faced lie, he's a thief. But it can be more subtle. You can just twist or falsify someone's words. As Christians, we may not do that. We may not take something someone said out of context. We may not take something someone said and give their words meaning they do not have. We may not take something someone said and say, and that implies this, and that means he believes this too. That too was done to Jesus. I know I used this example recently, but it's worth repeating so that this sticks in our minds. Jesus never said, I will destroy the temple. But they said he said it. Why? Because they hated him. That's hatred. Let's evaluate what we say about others. Are we lying? Are we making it up? Are we twisting, misrepresenting? That's to speak evil against another in the church. But what about telling the truth? That too, we know, can be against the neighbor, don't we? The truth can be told in hatred. It can be told with the desire to judge, to condemn, to put down. And when the truth is told that way, that fits under what James is condemning, speaking evil against the neighbor, and that fits under what God condemns in the ninth commandment, to bear false witness against the neighbor. Jesus in Matthew 5 said, you can go to your brother, to his face. There's one thing that we often think of we have to do in order to fulfill the ninth commandment. Speak to the person's face. And you can say something that's truthful to him. And that's the second thing we often think of, right? I have to keep the ninth commandment. That means that I don't go behind people's backs. It means I go to the individual to his face. It means I don't lie. It means that I tell the truth. I go to my brother and I say, thou fool. And he really is an empty-headed fool. That's what Jesus is saying there in Matthew 5. You've seen evidence of that, that your brother is an empty-headed fool. And Jesus says, you know, if you do that, you are in danger of hell fire. Because you told the truth, not in love for your brother. When you said, thou fool, you said it with a sense of pleasure, a sense of glee, a sense of joy that you get to put your brother down and you get to lift yourself up. That same can happen then when you are fulfilling Matthew 18. You know what I'm talking about, Matthew 18, the way of Matthew 18 to go to your brother to tell him his fault. But you go to him not to tell him his fault so that he will repent. You go to him not to tell him his fault because you want to take away the offense. You really want to forgive right away and put that sin away and be reconciled. But you went to him with a sense of, aha, I caught him. I'm glad that I can go and tell him what he did wrong, and I can put him down and I can put him in his place and I can elevate myself. That's evil speaking. Jesus condemns that. You do that and you're in danger of hellfire. He says, take the beam out of your own eye. Humble yourself. And then go to your brother to speak to him about his sin. Speaking the truth behind somebody's back, not going to him or her, that is evil. Condemned by God. If there's something that needs to be said to me, beloved, if there's something that needs to be said to you, then it needs to be said to me, or it needs to be said to you. Jesus is very plain about that, you know, in Matthew 18. And he doesn't give us two options. He doesn't say you can keep it private between you and your brother and work through the process of maybe bringing it to the church after you've used a couple of witnesses. Or you can tell the church. That's not an option. You can go on Snapchat. You can go on Instagram. You can go on the email program. And you can go on the telephone and you can spread it all around about what sin that person committed or what silly thing that person did. No. There's not a third option either, that you can go to your brother in private and go in public. No. To tell others about something true but unflattering, insulting about another in the church is evil speaking. But let's ask about listening too. The Heidelberg Catechism is saying, just as you can speak against your brother, there's a way for you to listen against your brother or sister as well. The Heidelberg Catechism in the first part of the answer is saying, now you may not be the speaker who is bearing false witness, who is falsifying other people's words, who is backbiting, who is slandering, who is judging. You mayn't do that. But then it says you mayn't join in that either. You mayn't join in condemning any man rashly or unheard. And the Catechism is saying you mayn't join in that by becoming a speaker yourself. Ah, I heard what you said, and I'm going to go and tell these people what you said. But it also means you mayn't join in by listening. There are times when we have to examine our hearts and say, now why am I listening to this? Am I listening to this for my neighbor? Is this loving? Is this helpful for my neighbor? Or is this because I love to give my ear to that gossip? I like to know details about other people, things especially that will put other people down, paint them in a bad light. And then we as Christians have to say, we have to say to those who want us to give ear to their evil speaking, do not speak evil of others. And the Catechism says you may not judge rashly or unheard. In other words, if someone else comes to you and says, I'm going to tell you something about someone else, you don't have the other side of the story, you don't have any of the other evidence, but I'm going to tell you something, and you're going to hear about how horrible he is or she is. And the Catechism says, if you do that, you listen, and you judge that person, you have violated the ninth commandment in God's law. You have listened evilly against your brother. And then the question comes up for Christians. Well, if I am required to judge on the basis of all the evidence, what am I to do? What should I do when someone comes to me and says, I'm going to tell you one side of the story? isn't this what I should do? Say, yes, you tell me everything from your perspective. And then so that I can judge rightly, I'm going to go to the other person and I'm going to say, now you tell me everything from your perspective so that I can be the judge. Is that what Jesus is saying in Matthew 18? No, Jesus is saying what's between a brother and a brother should stay between them. Unless you become one of the witnesses that are necessary to be involved in the case, you should stay out of it. And if there's something between a brother and the consistory that represents the church, it is not the calling of everyone in the church to be a judge of what the consistory is doing and say to the consistory, now you have to tell us everything in the case so that we may be judges. James is saying here, you aren't to walk around in the church as if every one of you is the judge of everything. There's one judge. That's God. Now, there are some things that you do have to judge. There's no doubt about that. And you have to do it on the basis of true evidence, on the basis of knowing the whole truth, not just part of the truth, but the whole case. But we are not to put ourselves in the position where we are to be the judge of everything. There are many things that we as Christians have to say. I want to think the best of others, and that means that I don't want to hear or to be involved in cases that I'm not involved in. I'm going to use my ears not to listen against my brother, but I want to listen for my brother. And in my use of my tongue, my ears, I want to build up and love my brothers and sisters in Christ. And beloved, I'm not going to dwell on that, but this does apply to what we read as well, to what we write on the internet, letters, other forums, and then what we read. Yes, we are to read widely. We read even people that we disagree with. We read to grow. But beloved, when it is writing in the church that is assassinating, that is charging with sin, that is tearing others down, just as we shouldn't listen to that, we shouldn't read it. We should use our tongues, our ears, our eyes, not against, but for our brothers and sisters in the church. To use our eyes and our ears, and especially our tongues, against others in the church is a terrible evil. Beloved, let's take that to heart this morning. James exposes the gravity of this sin. I wonder if we really understand that. I'm going to go over that tonight too when it comes to our calling to love each other by covering sins. How many of us understand how important that is to cover sins? How many of us understand how important it is to use our tongues not for evil against others, but for good? Sadly, I think some of us might be more concerned about how we dressed for Sunday. How horrible it would be for a woman or a man in the congregation to dress inappropriately. That'd be a terrible sin. But speaking about them and criticizing them, that's nothing. We need to understand how much God hates sin, this sin of speaking against others in the church. James here, in James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, raises the bar very high and shows us how grave and serious the situation is when he brings the law of God and God himself into this whole matter. And says, you need to understand that when you use your tongue and when you speak about the neighbor, God is involved in that conversation. And when you speak against the neighbor, ultimately, this is the stakes here. This is what James is saying. You're speaking against God. Take verse 11 first of all. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. You see how James is saying, wait a minute. Don't forget in your relationship with your neighbor, you have to do with the law of God. And that both of you are under that law, especially the second table of the law. That's what James' concern is here. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And how convicting. How many times do you ask the question, only is this true? And then think that's license to say whatever you want about someone else. And how many times do you fail to ask this question, is this something I would want someone else to say about me? And then when we don't ask that question, I know I don't ask that question enough, I rush headlong and I'll say things about other people that I wouldn't want anyone to say about me. That's horrible. But now what James is saying is the gravity of the sin is this. You have failed to acknowledge that you are under the law, and you are saying in a certain sense, I'm above that law. I don't have to follow it. I don't have to listen to the law of God when it says you need to govern what you say by what you would want others to say about you. When it comes to this person that I'm talking about, this person that I'm writing about, this person that I'm saying these things about, I don't have to follow that law. That law doesn't apply to me. I'm not a doer of it. I'm above it. I'm a judge of that law. Well, the horror of that, beloved, is that James is saying this is what you pretend, but it's not reality. You pretend to be above the law, not subject to the law, but it's not reality. The reality is that you are under the law, and that law requires you that you love your neighbor as yourself in your speech, and if you don't, you will be under that law's penalty. And God will hold you accountable, not just for this. You spoke evil against your neighbor, but you spoke evil against my law. You rejected my law. And then verse 12. There's one lawgiver. Do you see how James makes it more pointed? In case anyone was looking at it, well, I know we're not just dealing with the neighbor, we're dealing with the law. And in case anyone was looking at the law sort of in an abstract, impersonal way, James says, no, we need to go a step beyond the law, behind the law, if you will. We need to go to the lawgiver, to God. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? To violate the law of God is to violate God. To put ourselves arrogantly, here's the steps now, above the neighbor is to put ourselves arrogantly above God's law, is to put ourselves arrogantly above God in our pride. We don't think that way, do we? Let's think that way this morning. When you get that device out to post something about someone else, think this way. To trash my neighbor is to trash the law of God that requires that I love my neighbor as myself. And then is to trash God. Is to say, I don't care what God says. I don't care what God says about loving my brother or my sister. I will say and do whatever I want. Now understand, I know that none of you would ever say that directly. And James is saying, doesn't matter. I know you would never say I trash God. I don't care about what God says about me or my relationship to my neighbor. James is saying that when you speak evil against your brother or sister, That is the fruit and the evidence that you have risen up in pride and arrogancy against God. Or to put it another way, when you're asking the question, why do we so quickly gossip and backbite? What is the real root of that? The real explanation for why young people will do that, so viciously speak against each other? Why men and women in the church will do that, so quickly spread falsehoods or even true things about other people in order to trash other people? James is saying, well, you've judged them. You have. You've judged them as unworthy of love, of mercy, of kindness. You've judged them as being worthy of hatred, of vicious insults and mockery. And he says, that means then that you've also judged God. Let me put this in the context of Matthew 18 for a moment. Say someone you know has sinned against you in a way that you are concerned that if they continue impenitently in that, it is going to mean judgment for their soul. It is going to mean that they're cut off from God and from Jesus Christ. But you decide not to go the way of Matthew 18. You decide to go and tell everybody else, perhaps. You understand that means you've made a judgment. You've made a judgment. And ask yourself if this isn't true. You've said that person, there's no possibility he's going to change. He's so stubborn. He's so darkened in his sin. He isn't possibly going to change. And you understand how unfair that is. If anyone would do that to you, you would feel how unfair that is. Why doesn't that person give me the opportunity to hear this word, this admonition I need to hear, and to respond in repentance? He's already judged me. That's what you'd say. But you understand that's not just judging the person, that is in the end judging God. Because if you don't think the person can change, you're also saying God can't change him. This is a person who's beyond the grace of God. This is a person who God's mercy can't transform. And God doesn't give you and me the right to make that judgment. He's the judge. He may make that judgment. God may. God may, and that's very sobering for us, may make the judgment of members of this church, members of our family, and say, I'm not going to give them the grace of repentance. I have not only now, but from all eternity, determined to send this person to hell. But that's the point. He's the judge. You and I are not. He calls us not to judge, but to show love, to humble ourselves before him and before others. Beloved, that's the remedy. Ask for grace, for wisdom from above. Humble yourself before God and say to God, I don't know how to view things properly. I don't even know how to view my relationship with you properly. God, give me wisdom that I may see that I'm not above anyone, that I am below you, first of all. That's wisdom from above, to know that God is the judge, that he is God, and that he is above us. And then wisdom from above is to be able to see the right relationship with the other members of the church. They're not below me. I am not above them. I may not be condescending to them. I may not be against them. You could translate James' command this way: do not speak down to your brothers or sisters. I like that. It gives us the insight that we're all the same. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, an office bearer or another member of the church. It doesn't matter if you're someone who's been caught in a public sin or not. We're all the same. And the Bible calls us, when we're fulfilling our duties in Matthew 18, when the elders, Galatians chapter 5, are to go out and work with people, the Bible calls them not to come down to them, but to come alongside of them. To fellow sinners saved by grace. And if I had to put a finer point on it, I'd even say, whenever you're thinking about and speaking about others in the church, not only don't see yourself as above, see yourself as equal, but really when it comes down to that, to it, see yourself as below. You're the one, remember, who has a beam in your eye. They have the speck of dust in their eye. You're the one who says, not they're the chief of sinners, but I'm the chief of sinners. And then pray for the wisdom from above that says, no matter what we see in other people, we see weaknesses, we see sins, that we don't see them as weird, targets for mocking, sinners. Let me tell you about his drunkenness. Let me tell you about his fornication. Let me tell you about his annoying habits. His funny looks, the embarrassingly and stupid things he's done. No. Ask for the wisdom from above that looks at the other members of the church and says, I see them like I see myself. Sinners saved by undeserved grace, made beautiful in the eyes of God through Jesus Christ and part of his family to be loved, to be served. Then, yes, in all of our speaking, we must speak the truth in love. Is it true? But that's not enough. Is it God glorifying? But that's not enough. Is it something I would want to be said about me? This is what God demands, beloved, who is the one judge, who is above us. Do not speak evil of one another, but speak for and in love for one another, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the opportunity to gather together this morning to hear thy word. Bless it to our hearts. Give unto us a joyful day of rest as we consider what Jesus Christ has done for us and what thou dost call us to do as thy saved people. And may we live together as a congregation, as a loving, caring family. Forgive us for our weaknesses and sins. Help us not to hold them against each other. And bring us again tonight for the worship of thy name in safety, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter number 24.